turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 4 this morning for our message on the allegory of law and grace as described by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Galatians and was concerned about the Galatians living by law instead of living by promise. I'd like you to notice a couple principles before. Turn to Romans chapter 4, please, for the word promise. I think Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4, 16. I'm excited about the convention coming the end of June, and I was reading newsletters prayerfully, just looking at newsletters from our missionaries in different countries in the world, and I'm amazed and very touched by what God is doing in the world through our people. This Saturday, our graduation. Well, Friday night is a banquet, and we're honoring David Moore, Pastor David Moore, for sending so many people to Baltimore to go to Bible college. 40 years ago, 35, I don't know when, a long time ago, Bob Colban, Brian Lange, many others that have come to Baltimore to go to Bible college, and David Moore has kind of passed these people. And they're working on a list. I think there's more than 40 people who have come here, been in the Bible college, and then have moved on in their faith. Beautiful testimony. So Friday night, there'll be the banquet in this room with the tables, and you know, it'll be a great time of fun. Our guest also this weekend is Sam Miles, who's going to speak about prayer. And we started that off, that theme, on Wednesday night. And that was a beautiful time together. And how much prayer has played in our lives and in the history of our work. It is extraordinary and to God's glory. I want you to see this word promise, chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Let me explain that for a second. I get addicted to drugs. I steal. I get in trouble. I feel very bad about myself. I'm in trouble. I'm a thief, drug addict, very unhappy with myself. My family is angry with me, and I am in trouble. I am unworthy. I am a sinner. I am guilty. It is by faith that it is by grace. Look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor. It is connected with the word mercy, getting something you don't deserve. It is the new ground for us from God where we stand in grace. We stand in, for this platform is grace, we are in it. We stand in it. When we fall down, we fall in grace. When God sees us, he sees us in his grace. We don't deserve it. That man who is so upset with his life, he does not realize the nature of God. He's afraid of God. God is a policeman or the judge. God is righteous. God is a severe judge, and I have sinned. But the gospel is the ministry of Christ, who died on the cross for our sin and our nature, our identity. We died with him. We were crucified with him. Now I live by faith. Look at verse 16. It is to the end the promise. That's the third word. We have three important words so far: faith, grace, and promise. 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 It's a big word. God cannot lie. When he makes a promise to Abraham, it's true. To David, it's guaranteed. None of his words can fall to the ground. His promises cannot fail. God, in Titus 1:2, cannot lie. He says beforehand what it is, Ezekiel 12:24. Everything that he said is yea and amen, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Promise, this is important. This man needs to hear promise. And then it's up to him if he's going to believe that this grace is his. It's up to him to say, and often, of course, you are unworthy, you do not deserve it, you cannot make it, it is impossible, there's no future for you, it is over. Okay, that's all from his own conscience, it's from maybe people that are talking to him, his family maybe, it's from his own mind and heart, and it's in his experience. But all of that is subject to God. And God is bigger than my sin. And God is bigger than me. And he's bigger than my heart. He's bigger than my guilty conscience. It is by promise that it might be by grace. And your role is faith. That's all. It's faith. It's faith in God saying, wait a minute. I believe if God is real, that he didn't make me to destroy me. God didn't make me go back to the dust and curse me and get rid of me and send me to hell. Wait a minute. I believe that God, I don't understand it, but it must be that there's a living God that is bigger than my life and my mess up and my sin and myself. You got it. He is. So this is an important verse. Look at the rest of it. It says, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, that not to that only which is of the law, but to that only which is of, but to that which also which is of the faith of Abraham. Boy, I'm murdering that when I'm reading that. I'm getting all twisted up. But that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. Abraham believed God. That's what it means. And it's not only to Abraham, but it's to whosoever believes. So promise, very important word, promise. God made a promise to Abraham. God made a promise that Abraham was righteous, Genesis 15, verse 6. Now go to Genesis 37. We've got one other subpoint, and then we'll go to the text, Genesis 37. You know the portion, probably, in principle, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph. Anybody know why it says Israel? Look at verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land. Verse 3, Israel. Why didn't they use the name Jacob? Jacob and Israel, the same person. Jacob and Israel. You know, it's like us. I got an old sin nature, and I've got a new nature by promise. When God wants to honor Jacob, he calls him Israel. Because the name means he has power with God. Israel. But when Jacob messes up, he can say Jacob. You know, Jacob, the guy that's cheating and unbelief and discouraged and depressed. And then Israel loved Joseph. Look at verse 3, please. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. Could you put your name in there? And put the name goes like this. Now, God loved Susan, Debbie, Peter, Patricia, David. Now, God loved and made him a coat of many colors. You think it's true for you? That God made you a coat of many colors? Do you think that this many-colored coat represents God's favor? That in the same way your life has many colors to it? There's manifold, the word manifold or many-fold, many sides. This is the manifold grace of God. God has much favor for you. So that no matter what happens in your life, there's some side to that thing that is beautiful and colorful. No matter what happens, you got a coat of many colors. And you stand out. You stand out in this world. There's something different about you and me. There's something about this. We preached this many years ago. And we have heard it in Sunday school, and we understand it in principle. But I want to reinforce it this morning. It's amazing. You are favored of God. Who, me? No, I know those guys are, I mean, you know, him or her. But get a hold of this. Digest it. Let God work that in your heart. Because he is the God of promise. And when you kind of look around, you can't even believe that about yourself. But this is of grace, and it's by faith, and it's promise. We live by promises. These are game changers. When we live by promise, we are not normal. We're not like the average people. When we live by promise, we got a coat of many colors. And we are highly favored. And when you walk into the, when you walk around, when you go to the garage to get your car fixed, you got a coat of many colors. When you go to the dentist's office, you got a coat of many colors. When you get married and it goes south, you got a coat of many colors. You know, when you get in a little bit of trouble, you have a coat of many colors. Because it's by promise. It's a game changer. It's not anything you deserve. It's what he made you for, to be an object of his grace and teach you to live by faith. Now, I know some of you don't believe me. I know that, but that's why it's fun to preach about it, because I love preaching to unbelievers. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Okay. Galatians 4, Paul is speaking to Galatians who basically don't believe this. They are living by law, not promise, but by law. Okay, let's go to the illustration. The man has a problem with his drugs. He's in trouble. He's been in jail a couple weeks, he's out now, and so on. He's feeling pretty bad. Okay. He lives by law. He lives by law. And he wants to improve himself and change. And we give him credit for the good ambition and good direction. and good, you know, good effort, appreciate it. But if he could hear that God, Heavenly Father, has given him, made him a coat of many colors, and that he's an object of his favor and of his grace, it's not, I don't believe that. I cannot believe that. That would be so great. So he just lives in the moral law. I am bad. I've done bad things. I pay for my sin. I pay for my penalties, and I feel bad about myself, and this is what I got. And Paul is saying, you don't have the gospel. You don't understand what the gospel is. The gospel blows your mind. The gospel forgives you of your sin and gives you a coat of many colors. The gospel changes your life. The gospel is the reality of God making a promise to you through Jesus Christ, that the presence of God, you are crucified with him, but now you're alive, but it's not you, it's Christ in you. That's amazing. And by the way, that's more than just a Bible verse we quote when we're having a bad time. It's a verse that if the Spirit would really make it, you know, help us in understanding, we would walk around with that coat of many colors, and we'd say to our brothers, have you noticed? You know, I had a dream. You guys are bowing down to me one day. They didn't like him. They didn't like Joseph. They didn't like his dream. And he's saying, in effect, I know this is true. I got this coat, and my dad loves me. I'm sorry. You know, it is true. And if you and I, kind of in our church life, the Spirit brings it to our hearts, and we understand who we are and what it is that we have, according to the Apostle Paul, it affects us in such a way that we start to believe for more promises. We start to live in faith. We start to believe, no, no, no. Yeah, I know it doesn't look good, but I know my Heavenly Father. No, no, I know what you're saying, but the Spirit is teaching me. I am a child of God. And the grace of God is speaking to me, and it's affecting me. I don't know, I love my Bible now. Before it was like kind of like a big book that was just a big book or something on my phone that I never opened up. That's all that the Bible was, or something that I would say once in a while. But now it is like the Bible is getting in my spirit. The Spirit is speaking to me. And the Spirit is showing me I have a Father in heaven who has given me promises, and I live by faith in them. Okay, go to the text now, please. Chapter 4, verse 21. We'll go from 21 to 31 if time allows. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. What was her name? Hagar, great. The other by a free woman. Who was she? Sarah. So Abraham had two sons, and he's now insightfully using this bit of Abrahamic history to teach us a principle. For God has written into the story an allegory, and Paul has the insight to understand that these two sons represent two ways of thinking. To use the man with the problems in our illustration, his way of thinking is, I have problems, I am in bondage, I can't get out of it, this is the way it is. And he lives in Abraham's household. His name is Ishmael, and he lives in Abraham's household. But then 13 years later, Abraham had, by promise, Sarah had a son. How old was Sarah when she bore the son, Isaac? 90 years old. How old was Abraham? 99. Yeah, actually, maybe 100 at the birth. 99 years old, 90 years old. How can you have children but by faith, by promise? Physically, it's impossible. The woman stopped producing an egg years ago. How could she produce an egg again at the age of 90? Physically impossible, but by promise, they had a son. When this man believes in Christ, it's like the birth of something extraordinary. God's promise coming to a sinner and making him a saint. God's promise saying, you are not your sin. I have saved you by my grace because you have believed me. I gave it to you by promise. Go to the next verse, 20. And he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That was Ishmael. But he of the free woman was born by promise. That was Isaac. Which things are an allegory. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You're reading the Bible. You're learning the Bible. I'm wondering how many millions of people and Christians in the United States of America are not reading the Bible. And when they go to church, they're not listening to the Bible. These things are an allegory. I told you so in the beginning. And there it is written. And isn't it encouraging that the preacher is telling you something written in the Bible? Isn't it? Come on. I'm just kind of excited about it. I just think it's amazing. And by the way, I love it that our Bible college graduates, which will be happening on a Saturday in this room, I'll be going out into parts of the world. I'm happy that the graduates of 20, 30, 40 years ago are bearing fruit and doing the same thing that we are doing here. Isn't it amazing? That's Jesus that's doing that. We don't have anything. Pastor Shabelli has nothing to preach about. Pastor Love has nothing to preach about. Pastor Steve has nothing to preach. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to preach about. Why would you ever listen to me? I don't care. I don't want you to ever listen to me, except if it's here, if it's the Holy Spirit saying something, and it's useful for me. For we shall pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. If something that you heard 30 years ago, it sticks in there. It sticks in there. You got it still. And by the way, Luke 10:42, these things will not be taken away from you. They are forever. Isn't that good? Okay, next one. 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, it says in my King James, which, because they dropped the H because it's silent, but it's Hagar, the woman that we talked about. So we have a number of elements in the sentence. There's Mount Sinai. We shifted from the son, Ishmael, to a Mount Sinai. It could be confusing, but yeah, it's not that difficult to follow. Ishmael represents Sinai. What's Sinai represent? The law. It was where the commandments were given, Mount Sinai. This man who has his drug problem, he represents Ishmael, the law. You will never get out of it. You will pay for your sin. You will pay for your sin. This is the law. This is Mount Sinai. And Hagar bore him. So that's why her name is in there. It's bondage. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Why does it say that? Now we've got another word Sinai and Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where Christ was crucified by the Pharisees, by Rome, by the law. The law did not accept Christ. Jerusalem is in bondage in law, like the Taliban. The Taliban are legalistic religious fanatics, and they will kill you for breaking law. And same in Israel in the time of Jesus. Jesus was an affront to them. He had too much freedom. He healed on the Sabbath. He preached, and common people heard him. He honored sinners. He ate with them and drank with them. They didn't like it. And so he was crucified in the plan of God. So verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above. What do you mean? Above. Jerusalem, which is above. What Jerusalem is that? The one in Revelation, the heavenly Jerusalem, where there is no sorrow, death, sadness, disease. There is no sin. There is no devil. The Jerusalem which is above is free. This is the city that, though we are not there yet, but we are seated there in our place of privilege. We are the bride of Christ. We are members of Christ. We are free. We are married unto Christ. We are in the new Jerusalem. We are now part of another thing. We got this by faith. Yeah, wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? Okay, go to the next part, please. Verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren. What's that mean, barren? No children. The woman has no children. She's barren. Rejoice, you woman who has no children. Well, that was Sarah in the allegory. She had no children, but now she's got Isaac by promise. And she calls him Isaac, which means laughter. Because she's laughing that she's such an old woman could have a baby. It's unbelievable. Rejoice, you barren, verse 27, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Let me say something here, if you're following it with me. This guy with the drug problem, he is sitting here today, and he's in unbelief himself. He's saying, my life, that life is over. I have a new life by promise. I'm rejoicing. I can't believe it myself. My heavenly Father has saved me, has delivered me, has healed me, restored me. I know I have that in my past. One man said to me, he goes, you know, there's a lot of good people here. I go, yeah, but most of them are not actually, if you got to know them, they're not that good. No. No, I go, most of us have come out of problems that were bigger than us. Most of us are just like you. But we are people that have lived by faith and in promise. And we're here laughing and rejoicing in the miracle of God's great grace, that God gave us Christ. And if he gave us Christ, why wouldn't he freely give us all things? And we would find ourselves like this barren woman with a child in her arms, rejoicing and saying, I have more children. I have more children than Ishmael and Esau, which had many tribes, by the way, many sons, many tribes of people, but none of them were Jews. Sons of Abraham this way, by promise, but this one guy, we have millions of them, whatever, 20 million in the world, or I don't know the count, 30 million. These people, how do you explain this? It's by promise. It's God. And the Messiah is Jewish, the son of David, that saved all of us Gentile people around the world through thousands of years. These people are people of promise. They're not such great people. And if you want to have a shocking story about a family messed up, read about Jacob's 12 sons. They're messed up guys, tough to work with. I mean, you know, I won't go into it, but even though it is kind of messy, my promises are sure. And look at it, goes verse 28. And we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Let me say this, listen. This guy, Esau, or Ishmael, was mocking the little boy, Isaac, when he was a little baby. He's mocking him. 13-year-old teenager, mocking his little brother, mocking him. So it is now. So it is now. When you have a coat of many colors, people will mock you. We are living in the United States of America, but get ready, folks. Get ready, folks. Wear your coat around. I got a coat of many colors, but get ready. Put on your helmet. Put on your breastplate. Get ready. They will mock you. You know, who are you? Who are you? And they use the word hate. You know, hate speech, hating and fear, homophobia and all these things. It's like, okay, your vocabulary is off the charts. If you want to be educated and understand what life is about, we're not hating anybody. We just got a coat of many colors. I'm sorry, but we do. We've got favor from God on high. We've got promises from Almighty God. And by the way, we love the people that have these problems because they need help. They need God. And God loves them, and we love them. We care about them. We do not mock them. We do not tear them down or ridicule them. We are there to serve them on the street like we did yesterday and Saturday and do all kinds of things for helping people and children in the schools and so on. Be careful when you judge Christians. Be careful. Do not do it, actually. Do not judge your brother and your sister. Because they have a calling. And it's just to be respected. And you have a coat, and you have a calling, and you have a coat of many colors. But it's okay when we get in a little trouble for that. I'd rather wear the coat around and get in a little trouble for a good reason. And it isn't that there's you or I are special in ourselves. It's just simply that we are now representing our Heavenly Father on the earth. And we care. We don't sin as much as other people. We sin, but it's not the same. I mean, we sin like everybody does, but there's something about our life of faith. We go to God, and we have promise, and we live by faith, and we go from faith to faith, and we grow in grace, and we're encouraged in our hearts and understanding what kind of world we live in. And maybe one day, like Joseph was in a pit, so we might also one day be in some trouble. But that's okay, because if our Heavenly Father is with us, then that's a huge game changer. That means He's with you. He's with you. Let's finish up. It says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, verse 30. Cast out. Meaning, Abraham and his mixed family were living together in the same place. And the women are not working out, and the kids, one is, you know, mocking the other. And Abraham's trying to keep the family together. but it comes down to something painful. She has to go. Painful. May not like it, but she has to go. You cannot live together. Promise and law do not live together. Promise is promise, and law is law, and they don't live together. No, it doesn't work. When you live by promise, you got this joy and this faith and this ministry. When you live by law, your world is more frozen, more small, more selfish, more self-conscious, more occupied with me and my problems. But when we live by promise, there's a spirit of worship, spirit of freedom, just like we talked about with the three people in the same room a week ago. We are free now and cast out the bondwoman. And I don't want you to misinterpret that. We do everything we can to save our families and have people, and also people that are different in diversity and so on. But there's something about the spirit of this, where the spirit of law cannot live with the spirit of grace. There's something about the judging and the criticism of law that does not go with grace and faith. Live in grace and live in faith and cast out the bondwoman. Sure, he shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We grow in grace. Yes, we make mistakes, but we make mistakes with a lot of love, a lot of freedom, and a lot of grace. But we also grow. And I would rather err on the side of grace than err on the side of law. I'd rather be very gracious, very forgiving, believing the best, and living in God's spirit and law. And he can show us if there's something that needs to be addressed and dealt with, and the righteous judgment comes into that picture. But for the sake of our message this morning, and I'm sure you understand this, we have been born again into a whole new, game-changing, life-changing reality. Our Heavenly Father has dealt with us by promise, and it's very rich. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? You're here this morning and you need God's grace in your life, then you're in the right place for God to speak to your heart and say, my grace is sufficient for you. I forgive you. I restore you. I love you. I give you the spirit of grace. I call you by name. I put your name in the book of life. Believe in me. Pour your heart out to God. Believe in him in your heart. Say, I trust you, God. Believe in him and you are born of the Spirit, born of God, born of Christ, saved by his grace. You are his child. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. Anyone in the room, raise your hand. Anyone at all saying that prayer? Anyone? Father, we pray that you would minister richly to us through these weeks, all of our missionaries serving, bearing good fruit with amazing miracles of salvation by your grace. Bless them as they come home for convention. Bless their visit here, their restoration, their encouragement, their edification, and the continuation of this very precious work that is going on in the world. We are so thankful to be part of it. In your name, amen.